Morning. For anybody that doesn't know me, I'm Irene Ward, and I'm part of the Public Worship Committee. And today we are very happy to welcome Jennifer Streeta as our guest preacher. Jennifer is an ordained United Methodist minister. She is currently serving as Director of Chaplaincy at Fairport Baptist Homes. She is a board-certified chaplain who specializes in hospice and end-of-life spirituality. She lives with her husband, Chris, an Episcopal priest and two young children. And actually, they're here with us today. They're playing in the playroom, Jonathan and Abigail. So, welcome, Jennifer. And are there any announcements today, John?
We all know how you like to sing. I know, especially when I cut out on the organ and you raised the roof here with the hymn, but also how much you enjoyed kind of wailing away last spring on the Hallelujah Chorus. So we're going to do that again on September 11th when we start the year. There's going to be a great breakfast in the Fellowship Hall at 8:30, so we invite you to come and visit with everyone and have some great food. And then a little bit later, around 9:15, 9:30, we're going to come in here and we're going to have a group anthem sing. Roy's picking out a barn buster for all of us to sing. We're going to give it a practice. And so we're just going to do a big congregation of whoop and sing. And so come and have a good time and sing and bring some friends along. So September 11th, 8:30 in the Fellowship Hall. So thanks.
Are there any other announcements? Okay. Let us come together and worship. I invite you to stand for the call to worship. Come, let us sing to God. It is good to give you thanks. To declare your steadfast love in the morning. For you, O God, have made us glad by your work.
Please join me for the prayer of confession. Almost merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you. Word and deed. By what we have done and by what we have left undone, we have not loved you on our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry. We humbly ask, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, we have mercy on us. Forgive us that we are in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Long ago, Jesus said to his disciples, I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from God. You did not choose me, but I chose you. Jesus speaks the words to us today. Jesus forgives us and chooses us to be his friends, sharing his great word of love. Alleluia.
And Jesus said, let the children come to me. And in that spirit, I invite all the children and the young at heart to come forward for our time together. Right. Well, I'm going to pass these out to everyone. And these are glad, sad sticks. Glad, sad sticks. All right. Can you get one? Here we go. Here, do you want to pass a couple of these back there? All right. So these are glad, sad sticks. All right. So we're going to play a little game. And it's called, do you have a stick? Oh, you need a stick. Come on. All right, so we're going to play a little game, and I'm going to tell you something that maybe I did or you could pretend that you did, and you can tell me if it made you glad, and if it makes you glad, you hold up glad, okay, so I can see it. Or actually, we'll hold up glad so everybody else can see it. Or if I tell you something that makes you feel sad, we'll put it this way, and everybody will see that you were sad, all right? So let's practice. You got to eat a big piece of delicious chocolate cake. Yay! Everybody glad about that? All right. You got to go to Seabreeze and ride the roller coasters. Woo! That's a good one. You got to eat vegetables, especially peas. What is that? Sad? Oh. You were playing outside, and then it started to rain. Is that sad? Sad or glad? Sad, all right. You had to make your bed. Sad, oh. You were given, some yummy candy. Yay! You had to go to the doctors and get a shot. Oh. You won a game of Go Fish. Yay! All right. You got to go to the movies and see Finding Dory. Oh, that's a good one. You were given a nice goodnight kiss. Yay! You had to go to bed. Oh, there were some sad faces. All right. So we had lots of different things. Some of them made you feel happy, glad. And some of them made you feel sad, right? Now, I'm going to go through the sad ones again, and I'm going to tell you a little bit of background, and you can tell me if it makes you feel glad or sad. Because sometimes, when we think about it a little bit more, even the sad things can be glad. So you ate your vegetables, but then you grew really tall and strong. That still makes you sad? Well, that didn't really work very well. So it rained all, or it didn't rain all summer, and then all of a sudden it rained, and all of the crops got to grow, and the flowers grew, and everybody got a little water. All right, we're still 50-50. We're doing better. You made your bed, but then the house was clean, and your mom was happy, and your dad was happy, and then you got to go play outside. Sad or glad? Happy! Oh, okay, you guys are getting where I'm going. You had to go to the doctors and you got a shot, but because of that, you stayed really healthy, and then you got to go to school and play with all your friends. Oh, we're still sort of sad. All right. Scared. You're scared. Oh, this is a glad sad. I didn't do the scared side. And the last one is you had to go to both, yeah. The next one is you went to bed, but then you got a good night's sleep, and you got to play with all your friends the next day. Does that make you feel glad or sad? Yeah. Yay! Oh, you're happy. You're happy. Well, the reason we play glad-sad game is sometimes things that could make us sad, if we think about it in a different way, then we can be glad. All right? Sometimes we are sad, but we have to just kind of think about it a little bit more and change our attitude towards it, and then we can feel glad about it. Does that make sense? All right. And then the last part is, when should you pray to God? Should you pray when you're sad, or should you pray when you're glad? Both! Oh, you guys are good. All right. So God loves to hear us talk when we're sad and when we're glad. So when good things are happening, exactly, you should talk to God. And when bad things are happening, you should talk to God. Because God wants to know everything about us and loves us in the good times and in the bad. All right, can we put our hands together and say a prayer? Can everyone put their hands together? Dear God, thank you for being with us when we are sad and we are glad. We know that you are always with us. Thank you for being with our family. Thank you for being with our friends. And thank you for all that you do in our lives. Amen. Thanks for coming up today. You can keep it if you'd like.
Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come to his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make joyful noise to him with songs of praise, for the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and the dry land which his hands have formed. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for he is our God. And we are the people of his pasture, and we and the sheep of his land. Joy. Joyful God, we offer ourselves into your loving hands. We receive the gifts and all that we are, and knowing that we may make a difference in our homes, in communities, and in our world. Amen.
rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than man's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name. He's fairer than lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let him lead than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
Thank you.
Today's gospel reading comes from the book of John, chapter 15. Let us listen to these words. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends, if you do what I command you. I do not call you servant any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that your Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I give these commandments so that you may love one another. Here ends today's gospel reading. So it was my first real job. I was the youth pastor of a church, and I was real excited about it. And so what I decided to do is take 25 kids camping in New Hampshire. I thought this was a good idea. I suckered four other adults to come with me. We packed up a van of different tents from the congregation. We went and we hiked up this big mountain, which was probably too big for everybody on the group. We came down and we made a great dinner together. We pitched our tents. got into our tents that night and we went to sleep. I thought I had done a really, really good job. I was patting myself on the back. And then in the middle of the night, like every camping trip I've ever been on in my life, I wake up to a storm that is over us. It is absolutely pouring rain on top of it. You can hear the thunder, the flashes of lightning are lighting everything up in the tent, and I'm shivering inside of my sleeping bag. And then it dawns on me that I am the leader and the adult on this trip. And I have about a bunch of young youth on this trip, and so I realize that it's going to be my job to go from tent to tent to make sure everybody's okay and their tent's not. And so I put on my rain gear and my rain pants. I brought everything. I was equipped. And I went out, and I went to each tent. And as soon as you walked out of the tent, you just got soaking wet. It was that kind of storm. So I'd go out in front of the tent. Hi, it's Jenny. I just wanted to make sure you're okay. Oh, it's scary. It's wet. I'm not going out there. All right. Glad. If you need anything, I'm over here. And I go to the next tent. Hi, just want to make sure you're okay. In the midst, I'm just getting soaking wet while checking on all the kids. Turns out they're okay, but I see at the campsite next to us, it was a Boy Scout troop, and they are now packing up their gear. They have their lights on. By the time I get back to our tent is literally floating in a puddle of water. We did not put our tent in a ditch. There wasn't a pond there, but by the time I get back, our tent is floating. And so me and the other adult leaders move the tent to another higher place. We're dripping wet, and by the time we get in, we're getting into wet, soaking sleeping bags. And while I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, choose joy, choose joy, choose joy. The only way that camping trip worked is that everybody decided that this was going to be a fun, joyful camping trip. We decided that even though we were soaking wet, even though half the kids were sleeping in the van, even though the Boy Scouts decided this was too much for them, we were going to make this a joyful camping trip. It took about a week for everything to dry out all over the church, but it was a fun, memorable trip. Sometimes we have to choose to be joyful people. Sometimes it just doesn't happen naturally. Sometimes things happen that keep us from being happy, from being joyful. Nobody plans a camping trip in the middle of a thunderstorm. That's not a joyful occasion. But sometimes we have to muster our energy to find joy. In today's gospel reading, we are looking at the book of John. And in this chapter, in the chapters that we read, Jesus is telling the people what their one commandment is. He begins by saying, the one and only commandment that I want you to follow is to love one another and to act out of love. Now, we know that this is a large shift. This is much different than anything they have experienced before. Previously, in the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, and the Jewish tradition, there was over 950 different laws and rules that people were supposed to follow. Rabbis at the time were constantly studying the Torah and the Bible to remember what rules there were. There was rules about how you ate, how you interacted, what days you went out, how you cooked your food, how you slaughtered the animals, how you married each other, how you divorced each other, how you walked down the street, how you wore your clothes. Absolutely everything had a rule, and if it was broken, you were subject to punishment. But Jesus turns all of that around. He says, the only thing that I want you to do is act lovingly towards each other. If you act lovingly towards each other, everything else will fall into place. And then the second part that we often don't focus on, but it is in the scripture that we read today, he says, I want you to be filled with joy. I want my joy to be within you and your joy to be within me. So first we're supposed to love each other, and then we're supposed to act joyfully and find joy in this life and in this world. 2 weekends ago, a good friend of mine that I hadn't seen in 15 to 20 years other than Facebook, but we know that doesn't really interact, and she had beautiful pictures, but I got to see her, and she came, and her son spent the night with us. And after the kids had gone to bed, we're sitting out on the porch and we're catching up. We had 15 years of catching up. We knew each other's families very well, our parents, our siblings, our grandparents. And so we're going through, how's so-and-so, what's going on, blah, 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 blah. Story after story, as I spoke to this dear friend of mine, it was stories of infidelity, stories of young death, stories of disease, story of sadness, stories of business loss, of embarrassment, of ruined weddings. Literally, as she spoke, I could not help but feel heavier and heavier and heavier. I'm sure each of you know somebody, or maybe it's you, who the stories after stories are sadness, of brokenness, of hurt, of not joy. As I listened to my friend slowly expose all of these things that had happened over the last decade and a half, I felt a deep sadness for her. I couldn't help but wonder, how are you still happy? How are you still smiling after so much hurt and ruin has happened in your life? And yet I saw her being able to find moments of happiness and moments of joy. Her and her son were dancing in the kitchen. Her and her son were playing tag outside, going swimming. And she said through those experiences of these years of things that should not have happened were happening to her and her family, she came to realize that you have to celebrate each small blessing in your life. You have to find ways to find joy even when there isn't joy around you. I've been thinking about her and praying for her. I haven't figured it out for myself, but I think there's something to her happiness in the midst of all that tragedy. We know that it is hard to find joy in all situations. We know it's hard to muster happiness when absolutely nothing happy is happening. When questions of why do bad things happen to good people are going around in our mind, it is so easy for us to get down and for us to get low, for us to complain and for us to gossip. And yet I think God is calling us, especially in this scripture, to be filled with love and to be filled with joy and to act out of those emotions as we interact with those around us in this world. So today I have for you a little acronym. It's based off from Adam Hamilton's book, Forgiveness. It's going off a little bit. If you ever want to read Adam Hamilton, I love him, highly suggest it. But the acronym that I'm going to use today for how we're going to be joyful in the midst of non-joyful events is called RAP, R-A-P. And for each letter, I'll explain what that means. R, we need to remember our blessings. We need to focus on the good things that are happening in our lives. I think it's easy to be comparing ourselves to others, to be wanting more when we can't have it. There was a little video that went around the internet the other day, and it made me chuckle, and I'll share with you how it went. There's a man sitting in a gorgeous sports car, and he's driving, and he looks up, and there's a helicopter up in the sky, and he thinks, man, I would love to have a helicopter. Wouldn't that be wonderful? And then next to him is somebody who's sitting in an SUV, and they look over at the guy in the sports car and think, man, if only I could have a sports car, how wonderful would that be? And then next to the guy in the sports car, there's a guy in just a regular four-door sedan. He's looking at the SUV, and he's thinking, gee, I would love to have an SUV kind of car. Next to the SUV car is a sedan car. He's like, man, if only I could have a new shiny car. Next to the guy in the used car is a guy on a bike, and he's riding around thinking, man, if only I could have a used car. Next to the guy on the bike, there's a guy sitting and waiting at the bus stop, and he's thinking, if only I had a bike, I could go wherever I wanted to go. And then the cartoon goes up to a man in a wheelchair looking down in the window thinking, if only I was able to get around like that man sitting at the bus stop. What I liked about this little video is it reminded us that there is always something that we can be thankful for, always something that we should find as a blessing. There's a book that I read recently. It's called 1,000 Gifts. It's called by Anne Volskamp, And in this book, there was a woman, and she had gone through a rough time, and she was struggling to find joy and blessings in her life. And she decided that she would keep in her pocket one of those small little notebooks. And every time something good happened, anytime there was a blessing in her life, she would write it down. Her hope was that she could get 10 in a day, because she was in a really low spot. And then quickly she realized that there were so many little blessings. Quickly she filled up this whole notebook and had 1,000 blessings in her pocket. She realized that when she was able to pull this out and look it through, that her whole mood changed, her whole attitude, and she was able to feel joy in the midst of the struggles that was going on in her life. So the first letter is R, remember your blessings. The next one is A. A means assume the best. I think many times for us, we can start worrying. We can start working up in our mind the worst case scenarios that can happen. I know I go there. Sometimes we get ourselves all the way over here. But Jesus says in the Bible, do not be like the birds in the air. Do not worry about what you wear, what you eat, the problems of this world. We are invited to step back from that worry. A good mentor of mine, her mantra to me, every time we would have these little mentor conversations together, you know, you can't help but say, oh, I'm so worried about this and so worried about that. She would always sit there very quiet and very posed and say, can you predict the future? And it would make me so mad. No, I cannot predict the future. She said, well, then don't worry about it. You don't know that that's what's going to happen. She taught me, and others have taught us, especially through Scripture, that we need to assume the best and not go immediately to the worst. Assume good things. Assume the best. R, remember our blessings. A, assume the best. P, prayer. As Christians, we are invited to bring everything to God in prayer. Like the children's sermon today, we are asked to bring our glad moments and our sad moments. We are invited to lift it all to God. And as we lift each concern, each joy to God, we know that God is celebrating with us. God is helping us. God is guiding us. God is with us in the good, and God is with us with the bad. We are invited to share all of those so we can build that relationship with Christ. We're invited to build that relationship in the good times so we have the support, we have the tools, we have the language, we have the ways to communicate with God when the bad things do happen. My hope for us today is that we can go forth loving one another and filled with God's joy. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you.
concerns that are on your heart today. Do we have any prayer requests today?
Good morning. Keisha Minko. For the past year, I've been here with the microphone asking for prayers for Myrie Joy, the infant daughter of very good friends of ours. She passed away on Tuesday. So prayers that the joy of her life will fill the Woodard and the Stewart family. Thank you.
I'm Evie Ortman, and I have a day of celebration and joy. Yeah, last night, our granddaughter, Lindsay Otto, announced her engagement. Our daughter, Chris Arcara, is having a birthday. And when I was 14 years old, a young boy joined our church youth group. And today, Ed and I are celebrating our 63rd wedding anniversary.
Jan Buettner, I also have prayers for an infant, my son-in-law's great-niece, I guess, that's how to say it, 6 months old, was sitting on the kitchen floor and fell over and clunked her head and gave herself a concussion, and my daughter told me last night she's in Children's Pittsburgh Hospital, and she's got a bleed in her brain, and neurosurgeon's going to be in tomorrow to look at her, so prayers for her. But on a joyous note, my sister's great-granddaughter is being christened today, selling their church. So good news for, bad news for babies. But
Dick Stewart, we're very pleased to have our daughter Sheila and our grandchildren Stella and Johnny with us visiting for a few days. We're just happy to have them here.
Jerry and Pam Crandall, we ask for your prayers. Our daughter was diagnosed with cancer on August 5th, and she'll be starting chemo in a week, and we pray, ask for your prayers for her and our family. It's going to be a long journey. Thank you.
I'd like to ask for prayers for innocent children in Syria that are being bombed every day in their homes and losing their brothers, their sisters, their parents over what seems to be needless violence. Prayers for the victims of the earthquake in Italy, and ongoing prayers for the people of Honduras and Guatemala.
Fran Perel. Bob and I would like to thank everyone for their cards and their words of support. It's been a long 8 months. Thank you.
Well, we know that God knows all of our prayers. Those are those that are spoken aloud and those that are deep within our heart. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Gracious and loving God, Lord, we give you thanks for the church, the world, and all of those in need. We ask that you will answer all of the prayers that have been lifted up to you today, those within our heart and those said aloud. We trust that you will answer them in your good time and your good way. On this day, we pray for those that are out of work. We ask that you will grant them good jobs and be paid just wage for their labor. We lift up those in our military and those serving throughout our world. We ask that through their service we can create a world that resembles your peace and love. Lord, we pray and we lift up all the troubles around this world. We ask that you will be by the side of each of those people, those who are suffering and those who are ill. Lord, we ask your loving hands on those in our community and those in our heart, those who are sick, those who are ill, and those who are troubled in any way. And on this day, we give thanks for those that we love and yet see no longer. We ask that they rest in peace in your eternal glory. Lord, we ask that each day we can wake up with a grateful heart, knowing the love that surrounds us each day. You are our rock and our salvation, and you shall guide us all the days of our lives. Amen. Let us now join together in our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. At this time, I invite you to sign the hospitality register that can be found in the pews. I invite you to sign it and greet your friends and neighbors that are in your pew by name as you leave today. Also, God has blessed us in so many ways. And through those blessings, we invite you to share as we collect the tithes and offerings today. Gracious and loving God, we ask your blessings on these gifts before us. We ask that with these gifts we are able to spread your love and your worth throughout this world, in this church, in this community, and to those beyond these walls. We give thanks to all that you have done through these gifts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we go in peace today. Amen.